And if it is not given unto them, they will not. And that is clear through all the Gospels. So don't let a verse like Luke 5:17, where there's power present to heal them, deceive you into thinking that everything else that God says about his will is void suddenly, and that it's up to man. It's not. Though from our perspective, we very much have to make these decisions. That's why we strive. That's why we try to be diligent, knowing that if I succeed, it is God who worked in me. And in that I can rejoice, because then I know he was with me the whole way. Verse 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Blessed are the poor. You are blessed. What it means is how you have cause for rejoicing. How happy are you, you poor? You are supremely blessed. Though you have nothing in this world, the kingdom of God belongs to you. You may not have the wealth of this world, but you have the wealth of the world to come. And the contrast he gives right away here, you that are rich, woe to you, because you have received your consolation. You love the things of this world, and you possess the things of the world. You have what's coming to you. Remember, God does not owe man anything. Therefore, there is nothing to be said when we come to judgment, and God does not reward us with eternal life, if he does not. If we've had good things in this world, what are we going to say? You owe us? He says, you had so much already. You had everything. Everything you wanted. You didn't seem very hungry for the kingdom of God. You didn't seem very desirous of his kingdom. Hunger now, for you should be filled. And he's speaking in a spiritual sense. And not that it's not good to fast, or that people who are without food also are blessed, and that they need to look at that situation as being blessed. Because the fat, the full, are the ones truly to be pitied. Because when the kingdom of God comes, they're going to be cast out and will go away empty. You know, people think of heaven as being this place of this great feast where you're going to eat, eat, eat. And we will eat, but not in a carnal sense. We will eat of God's goodness and the good things he has prepared for them that wait patiently for him. And those that do all without good things now, that learn to push away food and the things people love to consume, you're blessed because God is going to fill you with better things than donuts and pastries and you know, Big Macs or whatever, you know, fast food, junk food, steaks, you know, potatoes, whatever. I'm just saying that whatever you fill yourself with, whatever turns your clock, you know, you that are full. I forgot what king it was. I think it was from actually Shakespeare, where he says, you know, don't surround me with fat men. I don't want lean men. Hungry men. I think it was Julius Caesar and Shakespeare. You know, let rather me be surrounded by the fat, by the full. Because fat men, the idea was that they have no ambition. They're not hungry for anything. They're content to stuff their faces. And I speak not only of a physical eating, I mean in the spiritual sense of full, like rich, with, you know, the same thing, it's equivalent to riches. Full of things of the world. Full. Not just of the food of the body, but of the food of the spirit. What do you fill your spirit with? Not just riches, but I mean the television programs you watch, the ideas that you meditate on, the things you fill your heart with. And that leads into, blessed are you that weep now. And woe to you that laugh now. You laugh now, you're going to weep later. Jesus was called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And in every gospel movie of the modern time, like, I really liked the Gospel of John they did. I did. I liked because it was word for word. I liked that. But I was somewhat irritated that they can't portray Jesus with, they always plaster a smile on his face. Everything. You know, when he's saying, woe unto you hypocrites, it's with a smile on his face. Woe unto you hypocrites. Yeah, it's just a little bit, it stretches the limits of believability. I'm not saying he was a sourpuss all the time. But he would have been not always with a smile plastered on his face. You know, he wasn't on TV. You know, like those people, they make it almost look like Jesus knows he's being filmed. You want to keep a smile on like the preachers on TV do. I don't think that was the case at all. You know, he was a pretty serious guy. He was lived a pretty serious life. He had a very serious ministry. Not that he was incapable of rejoicing or happiness. I don't mean that at all. I'm just saying, there's a lot of cause for mourning, and I see him as a serious man. And when you read these Gospels, I don't see a lot of laughing, happy, smiling all the time Jesus. And I get sick of it. I don't want him to be dour and depressed either, but just serious about his business. A man of gravity. That was the Lord. Woe unto you who laugh now. Ha, 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 ha. Always good times. Always enjoying things. Always a good time. That's all you look for is a good time. And you ought rather have mourned. How many times in the Old Testament did the prophets say that? You ought rather have mourned because of the situation. But people are laughing. There's nothing wrong with some laughter. But you ought to laugh for the right reasons and mourn for the right reasons. Don't be like, you know, in the days of Noah, they ate and drank, they married and gave in marriage, till the day that the flood came and took them all away. So it is today. They laugh at their things, they enjoy good things, they eat, they drink, they buy houses, they plant vineyards, but they do not give any thought to the things they really ought to mourn about. They do not give any thought to the things that they really ought to be concerned about. Let us rather mourn now